before the bloodbath begins, slither your way over to the host's socials. For the podcast, slash over to Twitter at the BHO underscore podcast. Instagram, the Baron's Hideout podcast. Then stab over to Dean's Instagram at Dean of the Dead Hot Sauce. Listen to the show on your favorite apps and Patreon. Enjoy the slay and try to stay alive.
Dustin, and joining us today is the team behind the campy horror comedy anthology Heebie-Jeebie TV. We have Adam Leanhart, we have Bonjour. Eric Griffin,
hello,
and Jake McClellan,
hello,
and we're here to talk DIY and 90s nostalgia. First of all, I need to say congrats on like having one of the funnest movies I think I've seen in a long time.
Thank you.
Oh, stop.
You're making us blush.
No, keep going. Please keep going.
It's serious. Like, it's crazy. And like everything that goes through this movie, like the acting and everything, and seeing how much the three of you have done to create this, to make this super fun, really polished film that is, you know, very DIY and whatnot, is I think super inspiring. And it's one thing that I've talked a lot about on this show with other filmmakers who are indie filmmakers, of, you know, trying to inspire other people who are wanting to get into this and to see a film like this that's an anthology. It's got so many things going on with it. You guys are acting in it, you're directing it, producing it, animating it, doing all of these crazy, crazy things. So like, it blows my mind to see how much can be accomplished when you find somebody or multiple friends that want to go and do something like this. That inspires me to want to, you know, talk to more people like yourselves. It's awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Well, thank you, Dustin. That's very kind. What we lack in common sense, we make up for in our follow through, which is how this project was able to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's great, and to see it be picked up by one of my favorite streaming services, Screenbox, is
shout
amazing.
Out Screenbox.
Yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah.
Titles for this spooky season.
I do a lot of coverage for them just for the fun of it and whatnot. And when I saw that you guys were picked up from them, and I was like, oh, I missed it during Sam Horror Fest, because the guy that helped get this on there is a good friend of mine, Alex, who, you know, wrote a big thing over there to Cinedime and Bloody Disgusting and whatnot. I'd be like, hey, you need to get this film. So I was
like, we love you, Alex.
it's awesome. And I'm so proud of all of you for, you know, getting on a service like that. And also, I saw very briefly, because I wanted to ask, but I was like, I should probably look first, is seeing that there is physical media for this, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, we have DVDs, Blu-rays, and copies of VHS tape, which are candy corn scratch and sniff scented.
What?
So something for everybody. Yeah, there's a green tape with a purple top, and there's a purple tape with a slime green top. Two different variants.
Oh my God.
More schlock than you can shake a stick at.
I need to get that. Wow, I was looking at it briefly. I'm like, okay, which one do I get? Now that you're saying that, hell yeah, hell yeah. But before we start diving into more of this film, what I like to do is kind of go back to where it all started with everybody, like with the love of filmmaking, acting, or doing anything like that. And I guess we can kind of just work around the room. Whoever want to go first, like whether it be Adam, Eric, or Jake, whoever wants to do that, like where did the love of filmmaking kind of start?
Ooh, the love of filmmaking. I don't know. I think I've been obsessed with movies my entire life. Like ever since I was like really little. I think the first, like, you know, horror movie I ever saw was Young Frankenstein, you know, horror comedy, which, you know, we made a horror comedy, so it kind of works out. But yeah, I don't know. It was more of an obsession with monsters that led mm-hmm. me into kind of the love for movies. You know, I thought monsters were so cool. I loved all the Universal stuff. Thankfully, the town that like I grew up in had two like small mom and pop video rental stores. I would just go in there all the time. I'd like stay with my grandparents during the day while my parents were at work and stuff, and they would just take me up there and literally let me rent whatever I want, no questions asked. So I saw a lot of stuff that I shouldn't be seeing that young, but it turned out for the better, I think. And I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think there was kind of like a thing in the late 90s, early 2000s. I remember specifically on Rugrats All Grown Up, Tommy Pickles was like, you know, he was like, I'm going to be a director or whatever. And I forget, like his idol was like a spoof on Martin Scorsese or something like that. I can't remember. Yeah, stuff like just kind of like being exposed to all this stuff and then seeing that, like, you know, people make movies or like having a tape that has some of the, you know, the behind the scenes stuff. I know like all had the Batman box set with like the two Tim Burtons and then the George Clooney one and the Val Kilmer one. And I think there was a lot of behind the scenes on those. And I just thought it was like really fascinating, like all the work that went into this stuff. So my grandmother had a, you know, a big old VHS camcorder. So I would like mess around with that as a kid. And then that kind of just fell off. I got into music and art and stuff. And then eventually when I was in college, I got an actual camera for like my art classes and all. I was like, oh, I could actually shoot stuff now. And it's just something that, like, I don't know, it just makes sense to me, you know, in ways that other things I've tried doesn't really make sense to me. You know what I mean? It's just something that kind of like clicks. So yeah, it was just a lifelong love of media and being creative and being artistic and, you know, finding more people that are just as crazy as I am with it. And that's how we're here.
Hell yeah.
So eloquently spoken. How does one even follow up a response like that? Well, Eric touched on it already with the video store and the love of renting. I'd say for me, it was early 90s Nickelodeon bumpers and the animation. Kablam was always my favorite show between Action League Now and the Claymation, Prometheus and Bob. So that got me obsessed with the hands-on practical end of things, the very tangible, sticky, smooth things that you could see on your television screen, which is why I got into stop-motion animation, special effects, puppets, all that jazz. My parents got me a Tyco video camera for birthday or Christmas, which was something that actually plugged into your VCR and recorded on a tape. So only had as long as the RCA cables would reach to film your masterpiece. So that taught me a little bit about restrictions in filmmaking as well. So shout out to mom and dad for that.
Hell yeah.
Jake.
Thank you both for those lovely responses. Gave me time to think. I think a lot of it came from like performance in film and performance in TV, specifically like villains, like you said, Batman, like Batman films, X-Men films, The Wizard of Oz, also in television as well. So that kind of led me to doing a lot of like theater growing up and throughout high school and college, mostly in college. And then I kind of like fell into filmmaking through like stage acting. So that's kind of how I got into it.
Oh, nice. And also, have you all worked together before, or did you find each other in the area? Because you are from Pennsylvania, right? All three of you? Yeah,
we're all in Lancaster, Pennsylvania right now. The way we kind of got started was Jake and I went to college together. We didn't really know each other too well in college, but I'd gotten into the, you know, filmmaking, video production and stuff as like my career, started a business with it. And then Jake approached me to make like a short film based on like a couple of his characters that he was performing as. And it just kind of like we Jake and I worked together on that and pulled Adam in to do like a stop motion title sequence for it.
I built a sandwich for them, a moving sandwich.
Hell yeah,
it was
sick.
It was awesome. And it's like, I didn't know Adam at all before that. Jake was like, I found this guy that does this stuff. I'm like, this is the coolest thing I've fucking ever seen. You know, it's like, can I say the F word on here?
Yep. No, not censored at all. You guys are free reign.
Nice. I was like, this is awesome. And I think Adam talked to me about doing some sort of file conversion thing for a short film that he had made called The Candy Stealer. And I watched that. And I'm like, I can't believe that this stuff has been happening around me. And I had no idea about it. So we did this small event and then we all got together like, we should do a Halloween version. And just, you know, we all love Halloween. Let's kind of just join forces and throw this crazy event that ended up turning into Heebie-Jeebie TV, the film.
Hell yeah. There's so much to talk about in this film that I wrote down a bunch of stuff here. I'm like, okay, what do I need to talk about? But I need to highlight
Show Jake. Me the list.
I need to highlight Jake because holy shit, everything that you do in here, acting, holy shit, like, it's amazing to see you already doing all these other things, right, with everybody else, but with the musical numbers that are going on, all like the wardrobe changes that are going on in here too is phenomenal. Like, I have to say, like, huge congrats on your end for doing literally like everything on screen, and obviously the two of you doing a lot of things behind the scenes, but you being there and like showcasing all this is phenomenal.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. It does take a village though to do it and to execute it at that level. But no, it's a pleasure. A lot of these characters I've had in my brain for a while, and some of them just kind of evolved naturally. And it was just fun to have a space to like evolve them and experiment with them. But yeah, like my costumers are a big help. Like I like working with other people with costumes as well. Just like executing, like even the purple guy at that level, like it takes a lot of help from Eric to get it to slap that way. The other thing is too, is like we filmed this over the course of 2 years. So I was able to kind of really kind of sit character per character and really like put focused effort into it, which was also really helpful. I think if I was filming this all like in 2-3 weeks straight, it would have been exhausting, but because we kind of had this slow pace and evolution of it, I was able to really kind of like perfect what I wanted in the characterization. So thank you, but it takes a village to get that.
Hell yeah. And before I let you off the hook real quick,
okay,
out of all the characters that were on here, what was your favorite? I have a favorite, but I want to know what yours is.
You know, each one I was like in a completely different space for, and like the most wild actually was probably the newscaster, because it was yes. really early in the pandemic, because I was just drinking a lot of Trulies and I just had to read from a teleprompter.
He was not wearing pants either.
I was like in my underwear, just like in Adam's basement filming it. So
that's how you gotta do it.
Yeah, it was, I would say, one of the easier ones, because I could just drink Trulies and read the teleprompter, as you can tell in the performance. But yeah, I think filming wise, the easiest and allowed me to like actually chill was the newscaster. Hardest was probably, I would say, the purple guy, because it's very uncomfortable. It's a very heavy costume. We filmed that in the summer. And yeah, but again, like the most fun to watch, in my opinion, is the purple guy. So I like them for different reasons. During filming, some of them are fun, and then experiencing them in their full, they're also fun in a different way as well.
Hell yeah. And I hope to see some Halloween costumes inspired by some of those characters at some point.
Oh my gosh. I just,
they are so awesome.
That would be, I'd love to see that. Let's do that. Even more off brand purple guy, even more generic name. But yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And I guess I want to shift over to Adam. Because obviously all the stop motion and the puppeteering and everything else that's going on in this film is phenomenal. Like, you know, tying into the musical aspects when you have the singing candy corns, like, what the fuck? It's so awesome. And everything is so catchy. Like, my mind is blown by every segment in this film because of how polished and amazing everything kind of comes together. Especially when it comes to the animation and the stop motion. Like, sometimes, like, I watch movies and it seems a little, you know, choppy. People maybe haven't done it a lot before, or it's maybe their first time doing it. But this, it's so polished and so, like, everything's so accurate. Like, your technique is hands down probably one of the best I've seen in a movie in a long time.
Well, shit. Thanks, Dustin. I feel like the reason it looks so good is because I have my team behind me. You know, what you see on camera from the candy corn up looks great, but below the stage, there's two men below it dripping with sweat and blood, and Eric's blowing vape smoke in front of the camera to get a little fog. So, you know, everything's extremely low tech. The candy corn tet were built on top of the shark grabber puppets that you get at the shore as a kid. The stage was made out of cardboard and egg cartons. Eric crafted a spotlight out of a lamp and a cardboard box. So I think you can really feel the grittiness that, you know, nostalgia fans love with some really polished, beautiful effects. Some of our backgrounds that we shot in front of were just green screen, and Eric really brought them to life and helped accentuate the puppets and really, you know, made everything kind of merge together beautifully. So thank you for noticing.
For sure. And my favorite, even though I love the candy corns, but Frank's. Those segments
are that's so, the good stuff.
It's so funny. So freaking funny. Oh my God.
And I didn't realize how hard I ripped off Cheddar Goblin until after it was done and we got comparisons to Cheddar Goblin. And also, what is it? The baked bean bandit from Joe Bob as well.
Yeah. But
no, we intentionally spoofed it, right? That was so intentional.
Oh yeah. We love you guys.
We'll go with that. And then I want to shift over to Eric to kind of congratulate you on just how beautiful this film is. And the cinematography is great. And having to nail all of these like different elements that you're trying to pull from commercials or like even like spiking the nostalgia that's inside of me. Like, you brought out the kid in me. And that's something that I do look for in certain films, especially when it comes to anthologies. And obviously, like, the whole team you had around you, like, played so big into this. Like, you know, your friends right next to you. But for you to really have that eye to capture, okay, this is what this commercial is going to look like. And it's going to kind of reminisce with something else that may have been in the 90s. Or however it may be. Or even doing, like, the mock movie, I think was absolutely phenomenal. So congrats on you as well, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, that was I think, at least for me, when it comes to like this nostalgic stuff, the hardware, the technology itself plays so hard into that vibe and that feeling. And you could, like, I see movies, a lot of modern movies that try and go for like, oh, we're going to make this look old and retro. And it just feels like a filter thrown on top, you know? So
yeah.
As far as the cinematography, it was a strong, like a very delicate balance, you know, like, how heavy do we go in the aesthetic of old, and how hard do we go into making this look like it was exactly from this time period without being too, I don't even know what the word would be, just like too over the top and too like too on the nose with it, you know? It's like, it was a very weird balance to try and find, and there was a lot of trial and error with that just aesthetically, and you know, kind of dialing in the look to make certain things look like they were from certain time periods and certain things look like they were from other time periods, and then keep the more like grounded stuff look very like clean and polished, but like in the way that we wanted it to, you know. It's just like super vibrant, high contrast, bright colors, a lot going on, you know. Yeah, I think I really appreciate you saying that, because I did put a lot of time in like researching how, you know, how things were lit, you know, like looking at a lot of old clips. I think the
stretching pantyhose over.
Yeah, the, you know, doing just like the indie mogul, like, you know, dream filter hacks and stuff, yeah. You know, like, you know, just stuff like that. I mean, literally every trick in the book that I've ever picked up, I tried to put into this. And it was more of like, this is the first real opportunity I get to try a lot of this stuff. You know, I do like more corporate-y kind of stuff for my day job. You know, I don't like get to have fun with cool lights and camera tricks and stuff like that, you know? There was a lot of time put into, you know, what type of lenses am I going to use? Like, what kind of focal length am I going to use? Like, how can I make this QVC thing look like it was shot by, you know, old studio cameras, and this, you know, Monster Girl thing look like it's shot with, you know, an A&E camera? You know, it's like, kind of where, what do we need to do to kind of just put those little bits of aesthetic in there to kind of pull that emotional response? And it worked, apparently, because you had the intended response.
Hell yeah. Well, like I said, there's so much that happens in this film, and how nostalgia it really is, and like how it makes you feel like I've seen a lot of other reviews online kind of like talking about that, like, oh my god, this like gives me like Goosebump vibes. And it does, you know, it's a little bit more mature than that, because there's some segments in there that Goosebumps definitely would not do.
We say dick way too many times.
Too many butt jokes.
But it's great, and I think that the three of you, you really have something really, really special, and I hope to see more from all of you, because from what this film showcases with the talent of all three of you, with the acting, with the animation and puppeteering, with the cinematography, with the writing and the directing, everybody together, like, I think you're a powerhouse that a lot of other filmmakers that I've talked to who do have, you know, running partners or whatever it may be, they make great products. I'm not going to say that they don't, but this is a film that is standing out so much with me of feeling like fans made this. This is from fans of the genre, fans of movies of the past, and like really trying to highlight that and to bring out what all three of you really love. And it makes me love this film even more. And I've watched it since it dropped on Screenbox after they sent me the screener. I've seen it probably about 5 times. And
ooh, thank you, man.
I can't wait.
More than us, bruh.
I can't wait to watch more. But seriously, you guys are a powerhouse, and I want to see more from you.
Well, that kind of ruins our plans of never speaking to each other again after this interview. Damn. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Damn.
Yeah, no, I think every one of us knows our strengths, and we also are able to pick up where the others have left off. And even if we're not the most confident in certain things, I think we have confidence in each other, and it seems to work. We have a lot more ideas and a lot more stories to tell and a lot more characters to bring to life. So I think getting some eyes on the film and getting some ears on the film right now is going to help us do that in the future. So yeah, thank you, Dustin.
Hell yeah.
Thank you. That's so kind of you.
And another thing I want to ask, because there's so much on here, but I have to ask the design of the box. Whose idea was it to have this box be alive and gross looking, but also so cool? Like, who thought of that?
I think Jake and Eric had written the box into the film, into reality, and it was my job to kind of figure out what the box would look like. I actually used a box for tattoo pigment that I got in the mail. I'm a tattoo artist by day, and I was like most of the props and puppets in the film, they were made out of trash or just completely recycled. So I was digging through my shop one day looking for supplies, bolts and screws, and I saw this box that lifted up and had a little secret compartment inside of it, and it was just there. It kind of hit me. So you know, we love Clive Barker, Hellraiser, and you know, Cronenberg type stuff. So maybe it was a little bit inspired by the biological technological hybrid of that. That was essentially a balloon bladder device with some liquid latex painted on top of it and some vinyl wood grain from eBay, and we've got our pulsating Pandora's box from hell.
Hell yeah, that's awesome. I also want to see someone dress up as that for Halloween. A giant heebie-jeebie TV box. I think would be hilarious.
Well, keep an eye out on our social media pages. You might see Monster Girl in a similar type costume that you're describing right now.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. And now that you guys are talking about Monster Girl, I want to bring it back to Jake. I didn't know that was that originally a short? Because I was going on IMDb kind of looking through everybody's stuff, and was that, it says it was a short originally, right? Or am I wrong?
Yeah, we ran that short through film festivals before we did the feature. So that the scene in Heebie-Jeebie TV was originally just a standalone short. It was part of our first cut of the film we called the quarantine cut that kind of carried into the final version. But no, the Monster Girl segment kind of played solo, and it got into Outfest in LA, which kind of helped us get feature into that festival for our world premiere. And yeah, built a lot of our relationships that allowed us to kind of a good festival run for the film. So yeah, shout out to Monster Girl for opening them doors. It's helpful.
Hell yeah. And painting yourself blue.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome.
She's just that way.
Where that paint goes.
And I guess we can go back to Salem Horror Fest. as I said before we started this, I knew it was playing, but it was on a day that I unfortunately didn't attend. But what was it like seeing the feedback coming out of the fest for your film? Because there was a lot of people talking about it that the next day that I was there, everybody was heebie-jeebie TVing up.
You know, this is a perfect example of just how weird the journey has been, because Salem, I think, was actually, if one of, or the last festival we played in our kind of festival campaign journey, whatever you want to call it. It premiered at Outfest, I think, in July, and Salem was of April in the next year. So it was really interesting to see that we felt we were coming to an end of our kind of the steam of our festival campaign, and Salem came in and really kind of like gave us a whole new buzz, and which allowed us to get just a wider audience and more reviews and just a bigger reach. So really thank you to everyone at Salem Horror Fest who kind of amplified us and really set us up for a lot of success towards the end of our festival campaign, for sure.
That was our first Fangoria write-up. I think our first Fangoria write-up came from Salem or Bloody Disgusting. I can't remember. But yeah. Yeah, that was like, it was crazy. It was kind of like Jake said, it was the end of our thing, and that was when everybody started talking about it. So perfect timing, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
She's wild, man.
yeah, getting on Bloody Disgusting and, you know, having somebody there who is actually a close friend of mine, you know, recommend this to Bloody Disgusting and Cineverse and getting onto Screenbox is absolutely awesome. And it goes to show that anybody out there who's creating a film, you know, things happen, you know, very crazy things happen. I know that from this show of meeting so many cool people and you know, I'm doing live events with certain people and meeting people from around the world. You know, you're doing this thing that's kind of a passion project, you know, like obviously this is a film that you guys really put yourself into, and there's a lot of great things that happen in there. And then just to see that what you made is now available to so many people on this amazing platform that is really for the fans, just like how you guys are for the fans for your films and your fans yourselves, is very, very, again, super inspiring to anybody out there creating a film. Like, you never know what's going to happen. So keep creating, keep going into those festivals, and you never know what's going to happen.
Absolutely. Never quit. This was essentially a Halloween party gone awry between the three of us that we just kept chugging and chugging and chugging and following through and pivoting and pivoting. And yeah, none of us would have ever imagined it would have gotten this far.
Yeah. And another thing that I've been seeing online that I do agree with, but this is definitely its own beast, is everybody's like, oh, this is just like WNUF Halloween special, which of course, like,
sure,
that movie has inspired, you know, a lot of other films, but this is such a different beast. Like, yeah, you could say that, but that one's more like commercial based and weird things that are going on. Like, this has commercials, but it's also got a lot of amazing skits going on. You got Jake over here singing and doing all these crazy costumes and all this crazy puppeteering work and great cinematography that I think people need to broaden their horizons a little bit with how this film actually plays and really digest it as its own. Because I think from being somebody who loves anthologies, this is going to start spawning, I think, even more crazy anthology films.
Good. We hope so. And yeah, we love Chris and Melissa at WNUF, and there's no doubt the impact they've had on, you know, Halloween anthology and you know, found footage. And yeah, we're huge fans. Ours feels a little bit more of like a variety show, but yeah. Theirs feels a little bit more authentic. And I think the way they marketed it by slipping it into VHS tapes at thrift stores and leaving it in the bathrooms at horror conventions was brilliant and genius. So yeah, we love those guys, and we feel like we're maybe a little bit the same, but, you know, kind of doing a little bit of a different thing as well.
We're doing a double feature with them beginning of November. Actually, we're at the Colonial Theater in Phoenixville, which is just right down the road from us. The theater that they filmed the original Blob at, We're doing a double feature with them. They're playing Heebie-Jeebie TV, and I think it's the first WNUF or WNUF two. Yeah, Trader Tony's. Yeah,
yeah. So,
so yeah, they're just those two are awesome. Like Adam said, they're incredible. They love Halloween. They love the spooky stuff. They're the sweetest people on earth. So honestly, to be compared to them in any way is a big compliment and a big honor. And you know, hopefully I'm hoping to work with them in the future because they're just so cool.
Hell yeah. And yeah, I've had Chris on the show I think once or twice to talk about his films, and he's such a great guy, and I've also met him in person. He's so awesome. But congrats on getting a double feature for doing that, because these films definitely will complement each other, and I think the audience is going to have a blast, and I hope it's a great turnout, which I don't see why it wouldn't be.
Get your spooky TV fix in a theater.
Yeah, this is awesome. I have to talk about the musical numbers as well. Writing that, who was the mastermind of being like, hey, we have to get musical numbers in here? Like, which one of you decided to do that?
It kind of just happened. I come from a musical background, so I see everything through a musical number at all times. My life, my brain, it's always like choreo and group numbers. But no, I think it just kind of happened naturally. I mean, when a lot of music comes along with making this style of film with TV channel surf, there's commercials and they all have jingles. So that's where it started, was, well, okay, well, we need a theme song. It's TV. And then it's, oh, okay, well, this commercial needs a little tune to it. And and then from that, it's like, okay, well, I want to do Purple Guy, and he's going to open as a kid TV show host with a musical number. Duh. And just kept pushing it. And it kind of just happened, I would say, really from those commercials and needing those jingles.
Hell yeah, we want you to play this movie loud. We want you to watch it with your friends, and we want it to feel like, you know, you may not have to pay the closest attention to it, but enjoy the music and let it rip.
Yeah, everything they just said.
Hell yeah.
I think it. Like Jake touched on, it's like you can't. TV is, you know, 100% music and 100% visuals. You know, it's like the jingles are so important to, you know, like you think, and I think as I was making this, I'm like, man, those advertisers in the 90s and 2000s, like, really got us. Cause like I could sing the, you know, the freecreditreport.com jingle. Yes. And stuff, and the education connection thing. It's like, how we've all grown up and like have this like connection to these jingles that we can recite by heart, but they're fucking commercials, they're advertisements. That's insane, you know. So it's like definitely keying into that and just like having that musicality to it. And it's like, we, you know, like I don't know if you said it in this one or the last one, but me and Adam kind of have like music, like band backgrounds, and you know, playing guitar and stuff like that. So, and obviously Jake's coming from musical theater, it's just like that's such a part of, I think, how we work and create. It's like we can't not have, you know, 22 songs worth of soundtrack going on, or whatever it is at this point,
and craft them to be as annoying as humanly possible and get stuck in your head for the following days and weeks to come.
Hell yeah, it's great. And as someone who also, you know, came from a musical background, I grew up, you know, with my dad playing drums all the time, so I became a drummer, and I have always loved music. And to see movies add a musical element to it, I'm one of those people that if there is like music in a movie, especially if it's singing or whatever it may be, it has to be good. And this has amazing musical numbers in it, and they're so catchy, like Don't Touch That Dial. It's so good.
Yeah, I think for me, a lot of it comes from, I love Mel Brooks movies, and it's like, you can't have a good Mel Brooks movie without like just an out of nowhere or just amazing like musical number, no matter what the movie is, you know, whether it's Putting on the Ritz and Young Frankenstein, or I'm Tired from Blazing Saddles or whatever. It's just like it adds like that layer of spectacle and like, you know, calls back to old Hollywood without being Quentin Tarantino. You know what I mean? It's just, and it makes it fun. And that's the whole point of this movie, is just for people to watch and have fun. So why not?
Hell yeah. And I really do encourage everybody to go watch this on Screenbox, or buy yourself a physical copy, or do both. You know, support the filmmakers any way you possibly can, because I want more Heebie-Jeebie TV. I want I want so much. I want an actual TV series of Heebie-Jeebie TV. I think that would be
fucking
awesome.
Tell us, Dustin. Tell us everything you want and more. We'll make it happen. Just tell us.
You got it. You got it. I'll write up a giant list and I will email it to you. But like, congrats on all of you for getting a crazy film together and having it all land and really bring out the nostalgia in a lot of us. Because all the reviews I've been reading is like, this is like nostalgia, quote unquote, baiting at its best. You know, you guys have really showcased what it was like for me, at least as a kid, and being like, oh, I do remember how weird these commercials were. Or, yeah, I remember these weird musical numbers that they had in these commercials that we were just talking about. Or just how the aesthetic of how things were filmed, or crazy wardrobes. Like, this movie is filled with crazy costumes, and it's absolutely awesome to see this, you know, available for a lot of people. Actually, everybody. You can go get your physical copy right now or watch it on Screenbox. And man, you guys, y'all rock, really.
Consume.
Thank you.
Consume us.
Gosh. Takes one to know one. And if you want to see more, they're in the special features of the DVD and the Blu-ray. We added on some fix-ins for you guys, and there is a little bit of some universe extension with some of the characters. Monster Girls found herself in hot water.
Awesome.
That's all I can say.
All right, I definitely need to go buy that physical now. This has been absolutely amazing, and there's just so much to this film that I need people to go experience it for themselves without me trying to spoiling it and asking you all the questions about it. But before we go, Jake, you need to give us a little bit of "Don't Touch That Dial." Just say it. That's all you got to do.
Don't touch that dial.
Yes. That's awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
Don't touch that dial. Don't touch that dial.
Hell yeah. Thanks, Dustin.
Yeah, you guys rock. Hang out after this. I'm gonna talk to you guys for a quick second. But this was absolutely phenomenal. Thank you guys so much for being here. And for anybody who hasn't watched this movie, I don't know where you are or what you're doing, but you need to stop and go watch it. Like, right now. It's phenomenal that everybody here and the entire team behind it really put a lot of love and thought into this. And I can't say anything better than it's just a fucking fantastic film.
Thanks.
Thank you, Dustin.
Thank you. Thank you. And we will
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Yes. Yes. It is what's today? October 16th? 16th. Yeah, we're almost there.
The time is now.
Way.
We're almost there. So thank you guys so much for being here, and we'll catch you on the next one.
For the next period of time, strap in as the hosts rip and tear at the unsuspecting guests, and which deliver their dark secrets and methods of the genre. In this bloodbath, no one gets out alive. This is Within the Barrens.